Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I am your host, but I am with Zach Brown. And so, yeah, we may kick up a tune or two, but you know what? Probably not.
There's not enough adult beverages right here.
We're probably going to talk about electronics and a lot about electronics and some stuff that you guys, Garmin's just come out with, and we're pretty excited to hear about it. And you'll be able to tell people so when they start looking at units, they can tell what they're looking at and what they're kind of looking for.
Yeah, I mean, the number one question we all get at every show, every event is, I went on the website, I'm super confused, I don't really know what's going on, what do I get, where do I buy it, how do I install it? So hopefully we can answer some of those questions.
Let's start with the first one. Which unit should someone buy?
Well, I mean, we make all the way up to a 27-inch screen. We just came out with it, it's 92-27. It's cool, but I don't know about how many guys are willing to spend $17,000 on a screen for a crappie rig or a bass boat rig, but it's still a really cool option.
That's right.
You know, but we kind of start in the middle ground, right? Our number one question is, what are you wanting? Are you wanting just a live scope unit? Are we doing a whole boat system? What are your expectations? And that's kind of where we start, because we want to set it up for the consumer, the guy who's using it, what he needs it for, because it's a big investment. It's a lot of money. We're talking thousands of dollars. So we normally end up start with the Echo Maps, and we see what screen size they want. Do they want a 9, 10, or 12? Used to, 9 was big. Now 10 is kind of the norm. 12's not really that big anymore, and people are doing 16s. 22s and 24s. Right. It's kind of, you know, craziness what's going on out there.
So when you talk about resolution and people buying units, is, I know this is a question I hear a lot when I write the articles about electronics, is a 12-inch unit have better definition resolution than a 16-inch one?
So in the Echo Map Ultras, the screens are the same. It's just that the physical screen size is different. If we look at our GPS map series, which is 8610, 8612, and 8616, the best screen in the whole line is the 8610.
Oh, really?
But the 8612 and the 8616 are what people look at the most because of the screen size. So we can get a little in the weeds, so to speak, in a hurry. Right. The majority of the guys are looking at 12 and 16 because that's what they're used to seeing. Right. And with live scope and forward mode especially, it's all about our pixels across the screen and utilizing that full screen potential to show our targets.
And so 86, you're talking like 86 and 8612 and 8610. You're giving us some numbers, but you have to tell the people, what are these? Code for live scope? This one shows the fish, and this one shows little fish.
I tell everybody, I start at the top of the line, right? Let's start at the very, I call it the Ferrari of the line, which is an 8616 GPS map. So we have two series that run live scope. We have a GPS map, and we have an Echo Map series. So the GPS map series is our premium product. It's the best screen, the best processor, the best everything. We make a 16, a 12, and a 10, and then we go down from there. For most inland guys, crappie guys, everything what we're doing, if you're not running radar, you're not doing digital switching, and you're not doing a bunch of stuff, the Echo Map family is where you typically land. So you're looking at an Echo Map Ultra 126, a 106 for the 10-inch, and then a 93 for a 9-inch, and then a 73 for a 7-inch. That's probably the meat and potatoes for the inland guy is the Echo Map series. We just came out with the new Echo Map Ultra 2. We saw, we've got them over there in the booth, which has been a really popular item. Some really cool features there. And we've had the Ultra for like 3 or 4 years. There's a mix right now, especially in the bass boat world. I know we're talking crappie guys, but even like our high-end
we're talking to everyone. Everyone that's out.
So the cool thing about it is that the MLF pros and the elite guys, so the professionals are all running the Ultra series on the professional trails. Because they don't run radar. That's the biggest biggest thing there. So the Ultra 2 is a really cool unit, though. It's way brighter screen, faster processor. The mount's been redone. It's got some wireless integration that's really cool as well.
Well, talk about that.
So the cool thing about it is if before we always had wires that ran between Unit A and Unit B to make them communicate maps and data sharing points and sonar and things like that. With the Ultra 2, we actually upgraded the wireless package, and we can share traditional clear and side view sonar.
Right.
We can share wirelessly nav data and waypoints and information. So for the guy who's just fishing on the weekends, and doesn't necessarily want to do a full-blown tournament boat rig, pro rig, he can just stick one unit up at the front, one unit up at the back, and they'll communicate across both.
And will it show live scope in the front and in the back or
not?
So this
is where we're going to get technical. Live scope won't show because it's a networked device technically, right?
Okay.
So because it runs off the black box.
Right.
And all the power goes to the black box, and then we take an image and we pipe it into the Garmin MFDs, the Echo Map series or the GPS Map series.
And now you've gone to the black box. What is the black box? Let's talk about the black box.
So the black box is really cool. I tell everybody, and we can talk about voltage and the importance of having it and why we need a minimum of 10-gauge wire and all that. What it really boils down to is that black box does more sonar computing than the rest of your boat times two. Because it's got six different elements that's all pinging at the same time. It's updating 10 times a second. So the number one priority for anybody who's ice fishing with it, crappie fishing with it, bass, anything in the world,
right,
trolling for salmon in the sound up in the Northwest, anything, anywhere, we need good, solid, clean, no issues power to it, especially at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. We've heard all
the
stories.
What's the minimal voltage for it?
12.1. At the black box.
Okay.
That doesn't mean a voltmeter at the end of the day on your battery and you stick it back there. I mean literally at the plug, because after 12.1 the picture is affected. Will it still work? Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But to get the primo best product with the live scope, you need 12.1.
Best resolution, best view.
The best response for the picture.
Yep. So the black box, so tell them, the black box is what they're hooking what to.
So the black box gets 12 volts and the transducer plugged into it.
Okay.
And then out of the black box is one network cable that's blue net to a converter that goes to the Echo Map Ultra, which is a panoptics port on the Ultras or on the GPS Map. It's just an Ethernet port for us.
Yeah. So they don't, once they have the black box, they got that hooked up. They got their unit hooked up.
Yep.
You have some other ports that are in the back. Are those to communicate to aliens, or what? What do they do?
Yeah, well, it's to the government to tell us where we're really fishing.
I'm joking.
So it's NEMA 2000 is one port, which is numerical data. If you had a heading sensor in the boat, so the map doesn't spin, something like that, right?
Yep.
We have a network port, and then we have our transducer port, which is an orange 12-pin port, and then some of the cases they have a yellow one that says live scope on the old Ultras, and that was for an LVS 12, which that product's no longer available, so don't worry about that one. And then, of course, you got to have power, which is a red one, and that's all you need.
So you used to have two different transducers, and now you've shifted from the LVS 32 to the LVS 34.
Yep, for sure.
So the LVS 32 no longer available unless...
It is available.
Oh, it is.
There's still some floating around in the marketplace, right? A shop may have them somewhere. I'm not saying that they're unavailable. I'm just saying you have to look harder to go find them.
You can't get them on the website.
No, sir. No.
So what made the 34, what makes that more special than the 32?
Of course, we came out with it. It's a new product. No, I'm joking. So the 34,
right?
An object has to be seen 14 inches apart at 100 feet to be seen as object one,
right,
and object two.
Target
separation. On a 32, it's got to be 22 inches apart at 100 feet to be seen as object one and object two, right?
Gotcha.
So I fish when I can. I'm normally working, but when I can, right? So this is what I tell everybody. They're like, oh, that's all cool. What does that really mean? This is what it means to me. A 6-inch robo worm and a 3/8-ounce drop shot weight is at 70 foot with a 32 is pretty consistent. I can see it fall, hit the water, and fall to 30 foot. I can see it at 125 feet with a 34.
Right.
Consistently every cast, no problems asked. So when everybody's like, is the money worth difference? I personally think it is. I had a gentleman in the booth a little while ago. He said, this is my budget. I got a kid fishing in high school. What would you do? And I've literally built him out option A and option B. And the one thing that was consistent was the 34, because if you're going to spend money on a Garmin system, I think you should buy the LiveScope LVS 34.
And isn't target, I mean, you have target separation, but also when you went to the 34, all of a sudden cover and structure changed and became clear.
The stitching, that's what we call it, between the arrays on the bottom's better.
And how many stitchings are there?
There's three arrays. So like if we look at the square, if you ever look at one, there's an element we call it down, forward, and full forward.
Yep.
And so when we start talking about that, like what it really does, the other thing it does is... when we had the 32, we had all these trick settings. You had to turn your, you know, color gain up and your right. color limit up and do this and run this. And TVG was a certain point. All of that's out the window with the 34. I tell all my friends, everybody I know, my dealers, they're like, what setting do I do? I'm like, you pick your favorite color and appearance and you roll. Right. And don't worry about it. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, just go fishing. They're like, well, I already saw my bait the first time. And I caught my limit of crappie or whatever. It's amazing to hear the stories that's come from LiveScope.
Right.
There's a lot of negativity around LiveScope, but it's really funny. They all have it on their boat still.
Right, exactly. Let's talk about appearance under your sonar settings. Let's go to colors, because the color palettes that you have, because you actually added some color palettes. You added some colors a while back, like maybe last year, a year before, somewhere.
So I will say this. This is my disclosure to any lawyer listening to the show.
Okay.
Color is in the eye of the beholder, only because I had a guy at one of my seminars who came up to me afterwards and he goes, hey, man, I'm colorblind. None of those colors work for me. So this is my personal preference. We'll just preface that with that story. I really like Caribbean if it's sunny.
Oh, right.
It's a green tone. It's kind of like black emerald. All the crappie guys know exactly what I'm talking about with black emerald.
Yep.
But what it does is the hard spot shows up more white, so you can have some target deprivation, and you can actually see within brush or, you know, rock or whatever. You can see the difference. If it's cloudy, I like lava. And if there's any aquatic vegetation, so we're talking milfoil, hydrilla, coon tail, water willow, anything like that, I do blue, because blue shows up as the water's blue, and a hard object shows up as red, and a soft object shows up as yellow.
Yep.
And you can see a fish sitting on top of the grass because it's red and the grass is yellow.
Yeah. So I went with Cody Huff. I actually went and videoed with him. So his favorite color is blue. Very little change on his unit. They're like, so what are you going to do to change the unit? He said, I'm turning it on. I turn it blue. He said, that's the most important things I do.
Right.
And so from there, he went fishing. So we were in it with a spoon, and you could see – like you could see the walleye that were suspended that day. They were suspended off the bottom a little bit. So you could see that target separation you had, and you could see the red, and you could see the hardness. Of course, he's throwing a 8-inch spoon that, you know, it's as big as a dinner plate down there. But
but you can still see it really well.
Yeah,
really,
but he can catch them too on it, which makes a big difference. But that was one of the things is I use blue.
Yep.
Like, and this is my preference, is blue in bright sunlight.
Yep.
Because it's really easy for me to see. And then I use, must be a green, like a moss color.
Right.
Is it moss?
Yep, we have and a color called moss.
And I use that because the crappie that show up, the white, like yours,
it's
more white in the middle. So I know that one's bigger than that one.
Right.
It's the size.
So I'm going to spin a question around to you because I get this one all the time too. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
How important is that 20-degree cone angle with LiveScope as a general? Doesn't matter if it's 32 or the 34, and understanding how wide it is and understanding how far away from the boat that really is.
Well, I cheat because I still use the grid lines. So
there you
go. Know what the distance is between, because when people get in the boat, they don't understand what the distance is. And then when I say, how big is that fish? I go, each of these squares, 2 foot. So that was only half a square. That's a foot.
Yeah, 12 inches.
12 inches. Trying to keep a keeper largemouth is 15.
Yep.
So don't fish for them unless they've almost filled a square.
Right.
So I think the difference in the cone angle as it goes down,
right,
is only going to make a difference as it goes out farther.
Right.
But
so,
as long as you're within 100 feet, I don't think the distance in going out there is.
Here's the crazy
that
part,
much.
Right? So we start going into that, and I was horrible at geometry in high school. I didn't understand why we had to learn it. I thought it was the most useless thing in the world. And now I have to talk about it every day. At 20 feet in front of the transducer, it's from the left side to the right side. It's
Let me guess. I was going to say 7.6.
Yep, close.
Oh.
What is it at 60 foot?
It's double that.
It's 20 foot. What is it at 100 foot?
It's more than 3.
31.5 feet.
Right.
And why is that important? That's the other question I get. Everybody asks me. This is like my favorite thing to talk about in the booth.
Well, when you're casting out, you want to throw to your target.
Right.
Like, and so if you have a stretch of 30 foot, that's different than if you have a stretch of 10 foot. You can pinpoint your target and cast.
Right. And if you throw with braid, like most crappie guys are, or bass fishermen, and it throws a bow in the line, and it's outside that cone angle, you're going to see it for part of the cast.
Yep.
or if the boat moves, because you're not running a Garmin Force trolling motor and any other anchor mode trolling motor, right, it's not going to hold the boat.
That's right.
That's my number one thing. Everybody's like, oh, it's easy. It's not that easy when you really think about keeping it and presenting it to the fish and understanding where it's really at.
So I go with some of the best crappie pros in that there are in the world, I go with. And the number one thing that I see is they never take their foot off the pedal.
Ever.
Never take it off. Like, I'll see a bass fisherman on TV or something. He'll take his foot off the pedal and go, man, I can't hardly cast to him. And I'm like, you gotta keep on it.
Yeah, I mean, so the other thing is, right, my little trick is pointer finger, middle finger, it's about 20 degree. Like, I'm sure there's somebody who has a larger degree fingers, but it doesn't matter. It's for reference, right?
Right.
If that fish is in the middle of the cone, he's going to be the brightest, and he's going to shine like a lantern. That's what you'll hear that term. That's another code word kind of going around.
That's
so you want to find the lantern.
Yep.
Because it's in the middle of that cone angle. So that's the most important thing for me. And everybody's like, oh, you pan a lot. It's like, I just move it back and forth. I want the best return to give me the best option for a fish.
That's right. You have any other tips for him besides the?
So I like color gain. I'd say color gain's, 70 to 80. I think the other big one for me is, I'm Garmin. I'm a Garmin guy. I believe in our trolling motor. I think brushless trolling motors are absolutely 100% the way to go.
Right.
I think it's you fight so many other things with a brushed motor, and I get we've ran them for years, and I mean everybody's looking at. I've been fishing, and I went to college, and I did high school. I've been doing it since I was 10. I've been around all the trolling motors and all that. A brushless trolling motor is my favorite thing because it eliminates a ton of issues for us.
Right. Yep. So, got another tip? Surely deep down inside there.
I would tell you that my other favorite tip is active captain.
Yeah.
And everybody.
Tell them what active captain is.
So active captain, it's on my phone.
There you go. It's on my phone too. So, but you have a unit somewhere around here.
Yeah. So, I'll send you screenshots of what we're talking about. But what my favorite thing about active captain is like we could be sitting here having a conversation,
right,
and you could show me the best crappie hole in the world, because that's I think that's the camaraderie about fishing is one of my favorite parts.
Exactly.
And to sit down and actually make a waypoint and talk about it and have the same map that's on your phone where you can understand exactly where you're at and make a waypoint, and then it automatically goes to your graph when you turn them on.
Right.
When you get there in the morning is an incredibly useful asset, only for when I completely destroy something and I forget to move waypoints over, they're on my phone and I don't have to worry about losing them or whatever. They're all in a cloud somewhere that's safe and sound. Nobody's going to steal them. And I hate to tell everybody this, we all have the same waypoints too. Like I
well,
work
electronics
with a lot of the pros.
So,
right. I work with a lot of the pros. I can put pro after pro's waypoints on the same lake, and it's all the same stuff. It's really funny that we think our waypoints are special.
That's right. So last thing, let's just talk about pollen. Pollen in the water.
Ooh,
the evil pollen. Yeah, hot.
Particulates.
Yes. Talk about them.
So I would tell anybody who...
How are they going to deal with the settings with...
You're going to turn your gain back, right? Because there's more stuff in the water. I mean, that's what pollen is, right? It's this different, no different than the air, and why I have to take a leg or a D right now every day.
Right.
So you turn your gain down. And I would also tell you that if it's different everywhere you go, don't be afraid to play with your settings. The cove on the west side of the lake may be different than the one on the east side of the lake because of a west wind. I don't know.
Right.
It's no different than if you ever dump a trolling motor over in the morning and your live scope acts different at the daylight or dusk than it does during the day. It's the same theory. There's more stuff in the water taking place. There's more activity. There's more things. You just have to kind of concede your expectations a tad and play with and push some buttons.
Okay. Sounds good. That takes us to a tackle time. Tackle time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. You can check them out at picolures.com. Zach, when you're not singing,
thanks,
Zach.
Mike.
When you're, if they wanted to find out more about Garmin, where would they go?
Garmin.com is the easiest place. Any of the local retailers, we're in mass merchant stores like Bass Pro Academy, any place like that. I'd also tell you go find the local crappie guy or hot guy in the territory. I promise you, he's got a live scope on the boat.
There you go. There you have it. Like I always like to say, make sure you keep your hook sharp. Lures in the water.
Thanks, buddy.